Okay. Beep. Starbuck. Hey everybody, welcome to Static Show, this is Bob.
Awesome, welcome to Starbuck. This is Miles.
What do you got, like a wind chime there, Miles? What's going on with that?
I have wind chime in my pants. You blow it, it makes no noise.
Oh my god, you're so racist. So, we're here tonight. We have a special guest at Miles' request. And,
it's a stripper. Her name is Randy.
Her name is Desiree. Hello, Desiree.
Hi, guys.
I'm gonna move you around a little bit here tonight. Hold on a second. There we go.
Should I pose like this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Meanwhile...
On all fours.
Back at the Justice League headquarters.
Here we go.
Now it's Byron Duddle.
Hi, guys.
Hey, Byron. Hello, Fresca. Byron? Hmm?
I didn't fool you.
Hmm? Mr. Scholarship winner? Hmm?
Yes.
Goldblum, yes.
So Byron's here with us, and Miles, you want to do the setup for why Byron is here?
Byron, Byron went to go see a concert a few weeks ago.
And apparently Miles is jealous.
And I'm super, super jealous. Usually I'm not, because I don't really... know any bands Byron listens to, I'll be honest, which I'm sure they're good, but I don't know them. But there was one band that I really know to some degree. I don't know all their stuff, but he went to go see a band called The Replacements.
Yes.
And was introduced to the music of The Replacements by the former mayor of Carbondale.
That's true.
And I had just a couple of their CDs, and I really enjoyed them. Really good stuff. And let's just go into it here.
Hey, now, one quick question, Miles. Is Valerie's Husband, is that a replacement song?
No.
No, that's, who's that?
That's,
Material Issue.
Material Issue. Thank you.
Yes, that's another band. Yeah, we saw those. We saw them.
Yeah, we did see them too. I couldn't remember the name though.
We did actually see them.
Go, I'm sorry. Sorry, wrong show. Go ahead, Byron.
Okay. So, and just a quick mention, as we speak today, I requested the Not New Review to review the first Replacements album, so I'm going to give them a little plug here.
Oh, yeah. Notnewreview.com?
Insignificant cast guys, you know, that's their other podcast.
Dane, Sam, would you like a Fresca? Mm?
Yes.
Adonis said Sam picks his nose.
Mr. That's right. Mr. Scholarship winners, You'll get nothing and you'll like it. Sorry. It's Ted Knight tonight.
Porterhouse.
It's me and Dr. Beeper, hmm?
You're on.
Billy.
So, Byron actually went to this concert in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see him at Bushwood, hmm?
Mm-hmm.
So what happened was, the Replacements... they're like one of those bands, I mean, I've loved them since like back in the 80s. I mean, you know, they were very influential, like on my band and a lot of the people in my scene, you know, very influential band. I think like when Nirvana broke out, like right before that, The Replacements was like the band for me, you know, and I mean, kind of influenced my style of music and songwriting. So I'm just putting that out there. And I always missed them back in the day. I never saw them live. So a couple of my old band guys saw them. And I guess they originally broke up, well, like the early 90s. Like, I think the last actual show they played was 1991, Taste of Chicago, where they officially broke up, or non-officially broke up. But, and this is the first time they're back together, so.
Really?
Actually, they showed up at Riot Fest just over a year ago. There was the big, that's like the another big concert extravaganza, kind of like Lollapalooza, you know, a bunch of bands coming together. And Riot Fest, yeah, that's when the Replacements first got back together. And I missed that, too, because I couldn't afford it, you know. So now this should, and I was thinking, man, I wish that these guys would come back and just do a smaller tour. My prayers were answered. Here they came. I saw they were coming to Chicago. And so went to see them. It was like the end of April, actually April 30th at the Riviera Theater. And a lot of my friends, I thought it was going to be a big group of us coming together. And only my one friend, who happens to be, he's one of these old band guys. This guy named Mitch Oberman, really old friend of mine from the old band days. He actually was there when the Gunk UK first started in the same scene. So we played with him a bunch of times. He had a band. Mitch had a band called IUD, which later turned into the Nobodies. And the Nobodies, then there was some kind of trouble because another band came out of the woodwork called the Nobodies.
I think they'd be called the Not Borns.
Yeah, I don't know. But there was a band that actually was signed that came out called the Nobodies, and he was forced to change the name.
Oh, man.
And the name he chose was the Stinsons, which ironically is because he loves the Replacements so much. That's like the two brothers, original brothers from the Replacements, were Bobby and Tommy Stinson. So he thought he wanted the name of his band, the Stinsons. I don't know. Tribute. I
thought maybe he'd be the New Originals. The New.
Yeah. The New Originals.
Right.
So, no, you know, Mitch and I planned to meet up for this, and, you know, like, here's the entertaining story meet up to go see the Replacements. I'm at work, and Mitch, you know, he was coming from his job out in the burbs somewhere. I work downtown, so I'm conveniently located close to public transportation. So I'm like, yeah, this makes sense. I'm going to leave my car at my job where I park, jump on the train, go to the concert. And I encouraged Mitch to do the same. Why don't you come meet me at work, and we'll both jump on the train together. He's like, no, it's okay, man. I got this. I'll find parking, and we'll get into the show. And so after work, I jumped on the train. 10 minutes I was there waiting for him. And finally, I was waiting, just waiting. And, you know, he finally calls me, dude, I'm driving around trying to find parking. I still can't find parking. You know, like, oh, yeah. So finally, he drove up. He's like, hey, I'm here. You know, and he's still in his car. I'm like, and I've been waiting in front of the theater. I'm like, oh, okay. He's like, you want to come ride around with me? So we started riding around the neighborhood looking for parking. So I really didn't have any reason to take the train, I guess, because I found myself back in the car trying to find parking with my buddy. And here's what's funny. So we were driving around for like the next 40 minutes, I think.
Oh, my God.
I know. This is a bad area for parking. It was, you know, a half an hour. Well, we picked up some dinner through a drive-through, and, you know, then he was still fine. So he has one of these small, compact cars.
We did some gambling, you know, whatever.
Yeah, exactly. We're not talking a lot of stuff. No, but every time he tried to find a parking spot, like, we thought we were going to fit in a parking spot, and it seemed like every time somebody had a moped parked, you know.
Oh, let's just hop out and throw that thing on the curb.
You're firing stuff, man. Exactly. And you would think, right? Well, my old buddy Mitch is the one that did it. You know, my sketchy history. I was like, you know, I don't need to get in trouble again in life. So,
yeah, right.
No, and this no lie, Mitch was like, you know what? You know, he was sick of it. He jumped out. He's like, let's get this thing out of here. I'm like, you can go ahead and do it, man. I jumped out with him. I was spotting him. He was trying to park. There was a moped, and then he just jumped out, grabbed the moped, and moved it himself. As I'm looking around, I'm looking at windows and apartment buildings. I'm like, someone's gonna be taking a shot at us.
Yeah, I know they're gonna be pulling out a gun.
Yeah.
Son, put down the moped.
But he got in the spot. We moved the moped, you know. So then that was it.
That's 150 cc's of fun, son.
made our way to the show from there. You know, it was only we were only about a mile away at that point, or a mile and a half away.
Are you sniffing my seat, you pervert?
And,
sorry.
Yeah, so I know, look, actually, when we came out from the show, the moped was still there. And then he was just, you know, because he moved it back, like, really wedged in between the car behind us.
Oh,
you know,
geez.
But when we came back out, he just threw the thing up on the sidewalk. You think I would be the one doing this? I actually refused to touch it. I did not want anything to do with this. I thought I'd be, you know, locked up for life.
He's stealing your whole rap, man. That's bull.
And then Peter Parker comes running out with some pizzas and is like, hey, man.
Uncool.
Uncool.
Well, what could I say? So, no, and we made our way to the show, and by that time there was a line. You know, when I was there early, we could have walked right in, so then we had to wait in a little line, and, you know, we got in, we wedged our way into the main floor right in front of the stage, and, you know, it was, I don't know how we got, it was really, it packed in quick, so, there was, the opening band was the Smoking Popes. I don't know if you've heard of them.
No.
Oh, okay. They're like a local Chicago indie band, kind of punk band from the 90s.
Miles knows the Smoking Poles.
Oh, you stole my joke, son of a bitch. I'm just going to say that. I was just trying to butt in, and I couldn't do it fast enough.
It's a polka band.
It is. Yeah, Bob enjoys Smoking Poles. Yeah, just like Brian. Yeah. Continue.
Sorry.
So was this open, like, you could go anywhere you wanted, like, open seating, or, you know?
Festival seating?
There was seating. There's, like, the VIP areas and all that. But, like, we were on the standing room floor, you know?
Yeah.
And ironically. Yeah. And when it was really filling in, this big burly guy gets right in front of us, and I see the back of his head. I'm like, God, that looks a lot like Mick from the UK.
Does he have a big eyeball on his head? You have an eyeball on the back of his head?
Eyeball.
No, the eyeball. The eyeball. I didn't see that, but I does Mick have that?
Yeah, he's got an eyeball on the back of his head.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't Mick.
No.
It looked close, though. Close. Well, I did see a Chicago Bears jersey under his jacket, so I'm like, that could be Mick, you know?
It could have.
Yeah, good bet. Yeah, that's true.
I know he was on vacation recently, right? Maybe he...
Yeah, but I think he was in Europe, though.
Yeah, like Italy or something.
Yeah.
But, so he's, you know, this big burly guy and his buddy are right in front of us. And that's, of course, then it was like, here's the guys to watch, shit. You know, they're kind of blocking the way a little, so we were trying to, you know, get around them a little bit. And the crowd, I mean, I'm like, God, you know. Once the Smoking Popes were opening, and it was packing in, and we got a couple beers and, you know, all that. Actually, this is funny, too, because every time, well, my buddy Mitch kept offering to go get beers, you know, because I bought the tickets for the concert, which he paid back, and
nice.
He tipped me with beers, whatever, but...
I'm thinking that moped removal, you know, is something.
Yeah, I know, moped removal, too, which I refused to help him, I swear, I was dumbfounded with that. I was like, I don't know, should I help him? Like, he was kind of indicating, like, let's get this out of here, but I just didn't do it. I know, this is not the Byron of old days, right, Miles?
The old U-boat commander has turned in his has turned in his license. And
apparently.
After a couple beers, I probably would have done it. But
yeah. Was it Hot Chicks there, or was this a big sausage fest?
You know, there was some lookers there, that's for sure.
Okay, on the Facts of Life grading scale, was it more Natalie's or Blair's or...
Joe's. Tootie.
Let's go middle of the road on this one.
Okay, all right.
Yep.
So Tootie's and Joe's?
Tootie's and Joe's.
I'll say that.
Mm.
Okay. All right, well, it could be okay.
Yeah. No, there was some hot ones that were sitting in the VIP seating. I when I looked up, definitely. But down with us, there was a petite little, you know, this girl that was actually right. She somehow ended up right between the Mick lookalike and us. And I, poor girl must have been getting crushed. I don't know. But.
Well, if Miles was there, she would have gotten crushed.
Yeah.
You would have been saying buck, buck number one.
Hey, Kool-Aid.
That's right.
But now my buddy Mitch, you know, he kept offering to get beers, and I kind of wanted to slow down with it. He got a couple there, and I decided to switch from the bottle to, I'm like, how about a Guinness, you know? But they only had that in the open, you know, open mug or glass, you know, so the guy, you know, tending there. So here's Mitch, my buddy Mitch, trying to walk back through the crowd with the open mug.
Oh, geez.
My Guinness beer. And then, you know, you got the guy's like Mick, like the Mick lookalike, and it was just, there was a lot of movement. Suddenly I see foam all over Mitch. Like, oh, man. He got doused with the beer. That's. Half the beer ended up on Mitch.
You look like Miles Tidal walking through a gay pride parade.
I guess I should have stuck with the bottle.
You moped tossing motherfucker.
By the time the replacements came out, it was pretty rowdy there. It was, And
what was the set list then? Did they play Alex Chilton?
Oh, yeah. He played that towards the end.
Oh.
Jimmy's got a boner?
Oh, that one? No, I'd have to look.
Got a boner or something like that? Or Johnny's got a boner or something?
There's a song called Johnny's Gonna Die from the first album.
Someone's got a boner or something, isn't there?
Yeah, no, it's Gary's got a boner.
Gary's got a boner.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
Yeah, you're right.
Not Mitch has a boner.
No, not that one.
Yeah, okay. Gary, okay. They do,
not the most popular song. Which one?
Oh, I'll think of it. So the Tell Me Questions is called Tell Me Questions. Tell Me Questions! Come on, help me out.
Miles has got a boner?
Miles got a boner. No, I don't know. I can't think of it. Okay, go ahead. Nightclub Jitters?
As I'm actually pulling the set list up online, I do not think they did that. I'm trying to remember.
Well, they have the set list online? Get out there.
Yeah, of course they do. Looking right now. Yeah. But actually, what was really cool, my dreams were answered as far as the old songs, because they really wanted to get into like songs from the first album, where I noticed, like, because we were on the second night. The first night of the show, the April 29th show, they had a... It's kind of cool. Like, usually bands, you know, they'll stick with their set list for every date on the tour. These guys were, like, changing it up every night, just doing what they wanted, you know? Yeah. So, right. And I noticed that, like, a lot of the songs were different. And, like, they only played, like, I think one song from the first album the night before us. And when we saw them, they played four or five songs.
That's cool.
Yeah, which was, like, more the punky. Yeah, Mitch was mentioning that he thought they were... Yeah, they avoided a lot of the quieter stuff. Like, I actually like stuff like Skyway, but he didn't play that, anything like that. He was a lot more of the rock stuff and the heavy stuff.
I only got two of their albums. The one that, I think, Pleased to Meet Me with, like, it's like a handshake, like two guys are shaking hands.
Yeah, Alex Chilton's from that one. Yeah.
And the one where it says, Don't Tell a Soul, I think.
Yeah, that's the one they did not play. Did not play I'll Be You. I don't know, the night we saw them, he...
Yeah, I like that song.
Yeah, me too. And I fully expected it to be the final song. And at the end, yeah, he kind of, I don't know, he kind of cut it at the end there. It was a pretty rowdy set. But yeah, by the end of the whole time, Paul Westerberg, the singer, he was acting like a punk. He was throwing stuff around the stage. He ended with hurling his guitar off. And, you know, I think for Alex Chilton, he actually brought a tent on stage, believe it or not, a fully assembled tent, put it down on the stage, and Paul Westerberg went with his guitar in the tent and was performing Alex Chilton the whole time in the tent.
That's odd.
I know, right?
Hmm.
Yeah. But he was, you know, him and Tommy Stinson, that's the bass player. I mean, they're the two original members now. The other guys are, like, newcomers to the band.
Okay.
I guess the original, well, you know, now, Tommy Stinson, his brother died. The guy who was the original lead guitarist. I think he overdosed at some point, like, in the early 90s. Huh. So he's long gone. Yeah, and the original drummer wasn't part of it either, so... It's kind of like half the band, but the guys that he had involved were really, really good. I mean, it just was tight. It was a good show. I heard Sam on the Not New Review, he was kind of like saying he thought that the Replacements were supposed to be a terrible live band. I'm like, man. I mean, you've always been known to be like, do what they want. You know, maybe one night they'd suck, the next night it would be awesome. They were that kind of band, you know? But this was good. It surpassed my expectations. Only I'll Be You was missing. That's the only song I wanted to hear that they did not play.
How many albums did they have?
I mean, God, did they have something like 5, 6, maybe 7 albums?
7, okay. Something like that. Because I think the last one I had was something called All Shook Down or something like
that. Yeah, they played the song from that. Not I'll Be You. They chose the song called, what was it, Merry-Go-Round? Which was from that All Shook Down album.
Yeah.
Right.
We had that in college when we were in college radio. We played that a little bit.
Okay. No, they played, I mean, a lot of, all the old stuff that you would expect, you know. Like, I Will Dare. I know they played that tune.
Now, were you listening to the Replacements when I originally met you back in 80-something there?
I think I just started after that. Like, at that point, I really wasn't too familiar with them. Like, when we were in college, like, I was just, like, maybe I'll Be You is the song I knew, and I kind of liked it, but, yeah,
You kind of introduced me to a lot of new bands, which I had never heard of, but I don't remember us talking about the Replacements ever. I didn't hear about that until 2 years later.
Right. Well, you know, it's funny, now that, again, my buddy that came out to the show, Mitch, you know, Mitch Overman, he was the guy. When I met him after Northern, after, you know, being in DeKalb, when I came back, and my other old buddy I met there, when we tried to start the original band, we both met Mitch. And we were trying to get him to sing with us, but Mitch was the guy that was like, you got to check out the Replacements, their old stuff, you know? So he was kind of the guy that turned me on to the whole Replacements thing to begin with.
Right.
Which is fun. So, yeah. And, yeah, I mean, I have loved them ever since, the band. It's totally, you know, one of my top, you know... I wouldn't really call them, I would say in the beginning they were punk, they were pretty punk, but...
Yeah.
What would you say later? More like an indie rock band.
Right.
Yeah.
Bob remembers none of this, so...
No, I just remember playing them at the radio station.
He's pulled a title now, he's not talking, you know, he's pulling...
Oh, you're a DJ, you would have them on rotation,
though. Yeah, they were in rotation, and...
Power Pussy by Bong Water.
Right, Bong Water and Speedy Motorcycle.
Yes.
And Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire.
Oh, the Monkees. Yeah, we put that on.
Monkees, yeah. That was, oddly enough, the Replacements were the ones that we played that we didn't get death threats.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Well, I got in trouble because I said I didn't like the album as much as the other ones, but I think... Dave Radius called up and said, I better take that back.
So. Yeah. Hey, Miles. Hey.
Miles, uncool.
Uncool.
Cool, Miles.
So what if I have the hairline of a 45-year-old? Leave me alone. I have Dave Radius hair now, all these years later.
Yeah.
Actually, I still have thicker hair than Dave Radius, even now. That poor guy. If you're listening, Dave, sorry, man.
This is somebody from way back, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, interview both. Can you hear us? Can you hear me? Okay, we're going. Well, anyway, we'll talk to them a little bit later. I don't know what happened with that, but I'm Bob Lament. Miles Peddles in interview booth with... Steph and her friend Sarah, but they can't hear me right now.
There you go, yeah.
There you go. Yeah, I sound like a chipmunk.
Yeah, Rod's cheap tape player. We all saw, hey, everybody, hey, Poodle.
Hey, hey.
What was that from?
That was from college radio days back in 1990, probably.
We used to actually have women on the show, yeah.
Yeah, the hot, hot tater tot.
A hot tater tot, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I can't remember. I don't remember Sarah. Was that...
That was her friend kind of digging my vibe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, you said that about just about everybody, so maybe I don't know.
Yeah, that's true, yeah, that's true.
Everybody dug Miles' vibe.
Yeah, you're right. I'll play a little bit of the old show, like each show we do. I'll just play like 5 seconds of it. You know?
Especially Miles. He dug his own vibe a lot.
Thank you, yes. Thank you.
Yeah, we did was that the Christmas show?
No, this is just the regular, side one is just us, excuse me, and then the side two, we did like our Led Zeppelin tribute.
Oh, that's right, we did a Zeppelin thing, yeah, that was a...
We never did a Replacements tribute, I'm sorry.
No, well, you had a bunch of Led Zeppelin bootlegs or something.
Yeah,
yeah. Probably from Dave Ryan, right?
Probably, stuff like that.
Yep.
So, yeah, that was, But we, yeah, I probably still have a few of those somewhere. I have no idea.
This has the infamous fifth grade man interview. The snake, yeah.
Nice.
A lot of good stuff. I'll have it queued up one of these days. I'll just go into it.
Yeah. Did you ever send that to me? Were you going to send that to me?
You know, the phrase overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah. I believe that was written in your wedding vows. I will honor, obey, overpromise, and underdeliver.
Let me just say, we both cried on our wedding night.
too funny.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Well, it sounds like it was a good show, and the moped's okay, Uncle Lair?
Yeah, we didn't get any shots taken at us, you know. I thought we were going to get taken out by somebody from their window, you know.
Yeah.
Moving a moped. That's something I totally would have done in the college days, you know.
Without hesitation, this guy would.
I know hesitation. No, I would have been tipping the mopeds over.
Hey, let's go kick over mopeds. What could happen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I only jumped up on pianos and stuff like that.
I guess tipping over a moped would not be the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, in the dorm lounge, I was jumping on pianos. And
yeah, you got caught on it, too.
I got screamed at by somebody as we ran away.
Foley, what the fuck, Foley?
Where the fuck you been?
That was like the guy that caught you doing it.
Oh, my Lord. Bunch of delinquents.
See, the guy that caught me reminded me of the guy. Do you remember the movie Midnight Run with De Niro?
Uh-huh.
Agent Mosley. The big African-American gentleman in the movie. That's how that guy looked that caught me on the piano.
Yeah. Was he like another student or was he like the security guy?
No. It was like the head of the dorm, the manager. I don't know.
Manager of the dorm?
Something. What would you, the
superintendent?
Ground manager. I don't know.
He wasn't like an RA. I mean, he was like an adult. He was.
Yeah, no, he was some adult, that's for sure.
He was in charge, huh?
The CEO.
Yeah.
Nice.
That was quite as funny as we did, I guess.
What are you guys doing with a piano in your dorm?
No, it was in the lounge. Right?
Was it right? There was a lounge piano. What was it doing there? It wasn't the band practice. Was it? Or was
it? It's like Jerry Lee Lewis move on the piano and start jumping on the keys.
Because all the dorms, remember, Miles, that the dorms had like a basement with a band practice space?
Yeah.
And usually there was a piano in there, but this time it was like on the main level.
Yeah.
It wasn't our dorm, it was another dorm, a neighboring dorm.
Yeah, it wasn't ours, like.
Yeah.
Oh, you were in the neighbor's dorm, gotcha.
Yeah,
I cut the cable to the TV, by the way, so my roommate couldn't watch TV.
Oh, yeah. Was it, I did that? Yeah.
Or because I took away my TV because I hated my roommate. I didn't want to watch my TV, so he was going in the lounge to watch TV, and these assholes cut the cable to the TV.
Oh, jeez.
Did I cut the cable?
Yeah, you knew that. Who did that, man?
We were, wow, we were jerks, weren't we?
We were assholes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. Well, and it carries through, because you threw a moped to the curb, so...
Yeah.
That's right. That was the big story of the replacement show.
Yeah, mopeds.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's up with that area. You know, if you're in the city, that's like... Where, you know where, like, the, I mean, this is the Riviera Theater. There's also the Aragon Ballroom. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's, like, Lawrence Broadway.
I've never been to any of
them. It's impossible to park. And anytime there was a possible parking spot, there was a freaking moped there, you know? So, that's why Mitch finally flipped out and did that. He's like, that's it.
I think I would have liked to chain my moped to, like, a street lamp or something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if I was going to do that, I don't think I'd leave it in a parking spot. Come on.
I know. I have not seen that, like, besides that area, like, so frequent, you know?
Interesting.
Yep.
All right, well, that's the story of Byron's trip to the replacements in Chicago. How'd you make it home?
How'd I make it home? See, Mitch dropped me back by my workplace where my car was.
Oh, you didn't have to take the train, huh?
Well, no, he drove me back by the spot, yeah.
Well, that was awful nice of him.
Yeah, that was. That was. And, yeah, that was it. That was already, like, again, about 3 weeks ago, so.
Give him a kiss goodnight, or no?
No, not that, no, no.
Sorry.
Wow. It was a mandate, but not that kind of mandate, so, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's got the wife at home, so do I, you know. We both don't swing that way. Sorry.
You know, some people I know would say that would be the reason why. But that's a whole other show.
Zoinks, Scoob.
What?
Yeah. I said zoinks.
Oh, zoinks. That's right.
Zoinks.
Jinkies.
Zoinks, Scoob. Now, Smidge told me.
Oh, what? Off. Oh, no, go ahead. I was gonna end it right there, but go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to throw out here really quick that Smidge is under possible persecution by a celebrity podcast right now. Did you hear about this?
Persecution?
Well, I mean, not persecution. Well, there's some word out that he's going to get yelled at by a celebrity podcast, which I have not heard yet. That
really?
Episode, but
are they anti-Semite?
Well, no, not yelled at, but, you know, he's it's a music podcast. You know, that the show that's done there, I'm not going to mention names. I actually like the show. I listen to them myself, and Smidge does. And, well, I guess he decided to keep sending his comments about their shows. Hey, man, check this out. Music. Oh, I love that band. I hate this band. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Constantly meddling on their Facebook page. Well, I think they finally let Smidge have it.
Something.
He said, I told him to go, you know, go jump or something. I don't know.
My favorite band, Tossing Mopeds.
Yeah. That's a good band name.
That's right.
Tossing Mopeds.
Chuckin' Peds. I think that's a better name. Chuckin' Peds.
Yeah. How about that? You like that, Miles?